This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Mixed Emotions.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. President Barack Obama took on a balancing act during his speech last night to a joint session of Congress. The president blended the tough reality of the fallout from the financial crisis with confidence that his plan for the economy will help. That plan includes a long list of spending on things like health care, housing, and the environment, but not for the corner office.
I will not spend a single penny for the purpose of rewarding a single Wall Street executive. But I will do whatever it takes to help the small business that can't pay its workers or the family that has saved and still can't get a mortgage. That's what this is about. It's not about helping banks. It's about helping people.
Marketplace's Dan Gretsch takes a look at how Wall Street's digesting that message this morning.
Wall Street is nervous about President Obama overspending. With the bank bailout, the stimulus package, and a proposal to head off foreclosures, the tab is approaching $2 trillion. Venture capitalist Peter Cohen.
There is that overhanging concern that, you know, you have to refinance that money and maybe there won't be somebody there who's willing to buy it up. And then you've got a humongous problem.
The national debt is already at more than $10 trillion. Todd Buchholz was an economic advisor to the first President Bush. He says you can see the anxiety in the trading of government bonds.
Treasury yields, interest rates have gone up, even though stocks have gone down. That's a sign that the market is worried about the explosive deficit.
Obama says he's searching for budget cuts to offset these new programs. He's already found ways to reduce spending by nearly $2 trillion over the next decade. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Here's the real test. So far, the Dow is down just over 1%, 84 points to 7266. The NASDAQ also down just over 1% to 1424. The S&P 500 down 1% as well to 763. But in Europe, markets are up and Asia closed higher. Dollar Tree says this morning profit was up 11% last quarter. Saks, on the other hand, isn't feeling too fancy, reporting a loss today. U.S. regulators are set to start stress tests today on the nation's banks. The idea is to figure out how much capital banks need at this point. Toxic assets, write-downs, leveraging, deleveraging. Our whiteboard videos with senior editor Patty Hirsch break down those terms with a dry erase marker and a sense of humor. Patty will join us here Friday to answer your questions. So, email your question by tomorrow morning to letters@marketplace.org. This is the Morning Report for Wednesday, February 25th on Marketplace.org. President Obama's been burned twice with his picks for Secretary of Commerce. One pulled out under a cloud of corruption, the other cited ideology. Today, choice number three gets announced, and it's Gary Locke. The former governor of Washington is Chinese-American, and that may come in handy in his new job, promoting business ties with that giant consumer market known as China. From Shanghai Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
Part of the Commerce Secretary's job is to sell corporate America abroad. Gary Locke should be all warmed up. As governor of Washington, he came to China often to promote firms like Boeing, Microsoft, and Starbucks. If Starbucks' ubiquity in Shanghai is any indicator, Locke succeeded. Jack Marr teaches business at New York University. He says Locke's resume and his Chinese ethnicity give him a cultural credibility that will open doors in China.
it makes the beginning of a negotiation much smoother because you have a common cultural ground. I mean, this is not to say that the two sides are going to agree about everything or anything at all, but it facilitates dialogue.
If confirmed, Locke will keep coming to China. It's the U.S. second biggest trading partner after Canada. And despite this recession, U.S. multinationals want in so they can hook the emerging middle class here on American Buicks and Barbies and Big Macs. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
It is annual shareholders meeting day at Apple. Investors are likely to lob tough questions at company executives. Whether they get all the answers may be another story. Rico Galliano has that.
Tom Krazit covers Apple for CNET.com. How would he describe the state of the company?
It's an interesting time.
That's putting it mildly. Apple stock is down about 50% from 9 months ago. Not unheard of for a tech firm these days. But Apple's also got this other problem, the mysterious illness of CEO/guru Steve Jobs.
He has said he had some sort of hormonal imbalance. And then he said that his health problems had grown more complex.
That was mid-January, and all Apple has said since is that Jobs, who is a cancer survivor, is on sick leave till June. So at today's meeting, some shareholders will want to know what's in Apple's future, either with Jobs or without him. Yahoo tech blogger Chris Null predicts they'll be disappointed.
You're dealing with a company that is completely opposed to giving out information.
Null says that secrecy works well for Apple when it's building anticipation of a new product, but when it comes to their CEO's health, it could backfire. The SEC has already launched an informal investigation into how and when Apple alerted shareholders to Jobs' illness. In Los Angeles, I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
The Senate Special Committee on Aging meets today to discuss new rules for retirement savings funds, particularly the so-called target date fund. From Washington, Ronnie Radbill reports.
Target date funds were sold to people planning for retirement. As they take a beating with the plunging stock market, the funds are coming under increased scrutiny for more regulation. Also known as life cycle funds, target date funds are a mix of stocks and bonds. They're designed to simplify long-term investing by automatically adjusting to more conservative investments as time goes on. Economist Monique Morrissey with the Economic Policy Institute says target date funds lulled 401k participants into a false sense of security.
They had the idea that if they invested in stocks early in their careers, they could take advantage of stock market returns and then lock in their gains.
But that's not the case. Jack Vanderhey is research director at the Employee Benefits Research Council.
Just because it is the appropriate target date fund selection for you today does not necessarily mean that it will continue to be that way in the future.
The Special Committee on Aging will ask the Department of Labor and the Securities and Exchange Commission to regulate the composition and advertising of target funds. In Washington, I'm Ronnie Radbill for Marketplace.
This week, President Obama also revealed more details about his housing rescue plan. It provides subsidies to financially troubled homeowners. Some think the plan rewards bad behavior. The poster boy for that sentiment is CNBC's Rick Santelli. A recent tirade against what he calls subsidizing the losers' mortgages is still making the rounds on the internet. Commentator Will Wilkinson isn't surprised.
Love him or hate him, Rick Santelli's now infamous on-air rant has touched a nerve. Shouting from the trading floor of the Commodities Exchange in Chicago, CNBC's Santelli asked,
"How many of you people want to pay for your neighbor's mortgage that has an extra bathroom and can't pay their bills? Raise their hand!"
The traders behind Santelli lustily booed, and I'm sure some viewers watching at home booed along with them. Small protests have cropped up in Seattle, Denver, Kansas, and elsewhere as groups of disaffected taxpayers gather to decry the Wall Street bailouts, the stimulus package, and the newly proposed housing reforms. Maybe these are a bunch of ideological spoilsports mad they lost the last election, but I don't think this small flame of populist resentment should be so casually dismissed. Fairness means a level playing field and a stable set of rules. The rules structure our decisions. They're inputs to our strategies in the game of life. Changing rules mid-game tilts the playing field. Those who planned around the old rules aren't wrong to feel the change is unfair. The housing bill, for example, would help some homeowners with negative equity by reducing their mortgage payments. This has left many who settled for something smaller and more affordable, or who decided to rent rather than take a risk on a house, feeling a bit ripped off. It's not just that some of us get bailouts while some of us don't. It's that millions of Americans who played prudently according to the old rules end up footing the bill. And that really doesn't seem fair. It may be that trying times call for extraordinary measures that are bound to leave some of us unhappy. But the more dramatic an intervention into the economy, the more it rewrites the rules and the more it tilts the field. Some people will be thrown off their games. Some people are going to cry foul.
Will Wilkinson is a fellow at the Cato Institute. The sport of golf has been thrown off its game a bit. Tiger Woods rejoins the PGA Tour today, and for many, his return comes not a moment too soon. Ashley Milne-Tight reports.
After Tiger Woods hobbled away from the golf course last June, the game's television ratings fell by almost half. Paul Swongard directs the Warsaw Sports Marketing Center at the University of Oregon.
He becomes the one-man economic stimulus package to the sport of golf.
Swongard says corporate sponsors have had to rein in their support in recent months. He says Tiger's return will re-inject excitement into the game, and that should translate into ratings and dollars. But what if his reconstructed knee isn't up to par?
I think people will still follow the story and want to share in his highs and lows and follow Tiger through this, you know, very interesting period of his career.
Swongard says if Tiger's performance deteriorates, fans will gradually disappear. But if yesterday was anything to go by, that won't be a problem for a while. Spectators packed the galleries at his practice round. I'm Ashley Milne-Tight for Marketplace.
In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Hope you have a good Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.